Take your Bibles and turn to Hosea chapter 10. Hosea chapter 10. Certainly you've enjoyed the entire service, haven't you? It's just been wonderful, the singing, the specials, the choirs, and all of those have just been fantastic. Hosea chapter 10, if you find Isaiah, Jeremiah, keep going to the right. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, it's right before Joel. Hosea chapter 10, and mark your place there and hold it for just a moment. Hosea chapter 10. Do you have it? Hosea chapter 10. All right, put your finger there. Let's find another passage, okay? This will be another one. Isaiah 57. Go back to your left and put your finger there. It's got a lot of turning there. And find Isaiah chapter 57. Find verse 15. Tonight I'll be preaching on the second part of broken things. God uses broken things. Who is going to be the one that God will revive this week? Who is the one that God will truly revive tonight? Look at Isaiah 57, verse 15. The Bible says this, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." You realize this, that God wants a close relationship with you. God intends to revive you, to bring you back to Him. Revival includes many things, but definitely it simply includes as well for you to come back into a right relationship with Him, where you have a close fellowship and you're closer to the Lord Jesus Christ than ever before. Who is the one that will be revived? Who is the one that will be drawing closer? It's going to be the one that is broken, having that contrite spirit, because we see that God uses broken things. What kind of things? God uses, ready? God uses broken things. God uses broken things. And tonight you can turn back to our main passage in Hosea chapter 10 and find verse 12. We're going to see broken ground here tonight. Broken ground that God must have us use here. Broken ground. Hosea 10 verse 12. If you have it, let's go ahead and refresh ourselves and stand up and read this verse. Hosea chapter 10. Look at verse 12. The Bible says this in Hosea 10, verse 12, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you." Break up your fallow ground. What kind of ground is that? We'll describe it more in detail in the message, but it's hard ground. It's hard ground. Tonight, we need to see that God uses broken things, and we must have a heart. We must have a ground that is broken. The title message tonight is Broken Ground. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, certainly do need your help tonight. Would you please fill me with your Spirit? Lord, I pray that you'd be with all of these young people and my friends as we listen to you. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us, that we'd hear from heaven tonight. And dear God, I ask that you would meet with us in a very special way. Help us to be closer to you in our walk with you than ever before. Lord, I pray that you truly revive, you truly restore relationships, restore fellowship tonight, dear God. And I ask that you would help us to have a broken ground like we ought to. I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for standing. Please be seated. I always enjoyed growing up as a young person and every summer enjoying the fruit or the reaping of a garden. Now, although I lived in the city, we had a small backyard. In the small backyard, we had a decent-sized garden for the city. And I always enjoyed that going out. Of course, my favorite thing was the sweet corn. Oh, sweet corn. I love eating the sweet corn. You know, you have to, it's a science in eating sweet corn. There's really a definite method, and there's a right and wrong in eating sweet corn. You just can't eat it incorrectly. People that eat it like this are wrong. You're wrong. You have to eat it like a typewriter. And you have to eat every single kernel going across. Don't leave every fifth kernel or something. You're eating every single one. And then before you can do that, you have to cover every single one as well with butter, where it's dripping. You know, it's dripping off. And then you put the salt on. So you have a whole bunch of butter, a whole bunch of salt, a little bit of corn, and you're going across it, and oh, you're just I'm just loving that. You know, I could enjoy the other. I love tomatoes, and I love fresh tomatoes, ripened right there, vine ripened from the garden, and you go out, put some salt on it. Man, eat it right there, but that's good stuff. The other vegetables and other different fruits that perhaps we may have. We had a cherry tree as well. We had all the other different types of things. I loved being able to eat the fruit from the garden of what we planted. But every single spring, every single spring, it was the same thing. The thing I didn't like. If I could, I would love it just to be able to say, okay, hey, Mom, Dad, I'll help you at the garden. Let's get the seed. All right, let's just throw it out there. Okay, here we go. We're just throwing out the seed, putting it in a line maybe, and we're putting it out there. But that'd be super. But before we could ever put the seed out there, we'd have to break up the ground. All winter long has just been sitting there. It's hard. All those clots, there's weeds, there's grass, there's other things now perhaps have come in. Because of this just being left to itself, and this hard ground had to be broken up. Now, there were two utensils that were usually used. One would be handed to me was the garden hoe. I hated the garden hoe. I hate the garden hoe to today. You know, you have to go and you break up the ground, you're breaking up those clots, and then there's others, you get a plow, you get a gas-powered plow, and you're getting the thing, you're plowing it up, and, you know, they changed it now where they put it in a way where the wheels are different, and it doesn't shake you around, but man, it would shake you all around, and it would tear you up if you're doing it for very long. It would be difficult, hard work, but you had to break up the ground in order for the seed to be planted and to be able to grow anything and have any fruit or have any vegetables whatsoever. You know, this week, God wants to be able to grow good works in your life. God wants to develop you spiritually. God wants you to become close to Him, and He's given you seeds. It's from the Word of God, and He's been preaching the gospel seeds and the seeds of growing. And here are the seeds that are being planted out. They're being sown every service, just thrown out there. But when they land on hard ground, it can't penetrate. You have to have a soft heart, the soft ground. You can develop a hard heart towards God and not responding when He speaks. And the ground is just so hardened that the seed of the Word of God just sits right there and never goes in. Tonight, will you respond to God as He's wanting to bring you back in a close relationship with Him? Let's ask three questions tonight about the ground, and we're going to see from our verse tonight. Number one is this: how do you get hard ground? Number one, how do you get hard ground in the first place? And specifically, this fallow ground. It says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. What is this fallow ground? How do you get fallow ground? How does this process take place? If we could interview a farmer and just go to a farmer and say, yes, Mr. Farmer, I'm from BRR Network, and I'm here to interview you for the Teenagers for Youth 5, and I'd like to be able to ask you just a few questions. Is that okay? Yep. Okay, all right. Thank you, Mr. Farmer, and you're asking all these different questions. Okay, exactly. How many years have you been farming? Well, about 35. So that's great. Good experience here. Okay, now what exactly is that fallow ground? It's hard. Well, thank you. All right, very much. All right, it's hard ground. Okay, now how do you get that hard ground? What exactly do you do to get the hard ground? Well, you don't do nothing. You don't do nothing. In other words, you do nothing. You just let it sit there. In order to get the fallow ground, the hard ground, you do absolutely nothing. So the question is, how do you get hard ground? Do nothing is the answer. I want you to help me out. I'll ask the question, you give the answer in two words, do nothing. Here's the question. Number one, how do you get hard ground? And the answer is,
do nothing.
Do nothing. You just leave it all winter long. You just leave it alone. You see, that ground is just ground that's been left alone. In other words, you don't decide. when it comes to our lives, when it comes to our hearts, what is this speaking about? It's talking about us responding then, deciding to do what we've heard God tell us to do. What areas do people do nothing in? Well, specifically, let me mention salvation, and then secondly, conviction for the believer. So number one is just salvation. You need to be saved. There are ones in here that have not trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. And because of that, we see very clearly through the Word of God, we're all sinners. The wages of the sin is death. We're supposed to die right now. But not only that, we think, well, I'm supposed to die. I will die in the future. And I'm supposed to go to the place called hell. Okay, I've heard that. But we heard this morning, more specifically, that we are those that have not yet trusted Jesus Christ as Savior are condemned already. It's not in the future that you're condemned. It's like a decision's already been made. The judge is there and he slammed down the mallet and he says, guilty. When he does so, as he's making the decision's already been made. The guy's on the death row. Maybe it's not taken place yet. The execution has not taken place, but it's just a matter of time. He's condemned already. And the Bible says this, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And you're hearing these things and say, well, that's terrible. Well, it is. And you need to do something urgently today about that. Because the Bible says today is the day of salvation. It's right now. Now's the point of time. God doesn't want you to put it off. Once you hear the Word of God, and that you're a sinner, and that there's a judgment for sin, and that Jesus Christ took that judgment in our place so we could have His, and all we must do is make that one decision of faith. It's not a list of good works that we can never attain to. It's not trying to be perfect. There's not do this and do that and do this. It's simply receiving the gift of eternal life by faith. Make the decision of faith tonight. Why? Because one day, if you do not make the decision of faith, and you die in your sins, there will be a judgment called the Great White Throne Judgment. You know, a lot of people are very confused, and even teenagers are confused about judgment. Think, well, maybe there'll be one big judgment, and everybody's in a huge line, you know, goes up all throughout the clouds, and God's up there, and He says, okay, next, all right, we go, next in line, all right, I think we're at the Q's now, okay, the R's, all right, and we're going through the names, and all right, who's next? And you stand up, okay, well, let's see, have you been good enough? No, well, obviously, you say, no, it's not good enough for heaven, but there's just saved and unsaved there, right, and you can't figure out until that point. No, there's two different judgments, and there's one specifically for those that have not yet trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, and it's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And at this judgment, it's only those that have rejected Jesus Christ. They've died, and they will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, the judge. And He will then announce for them their judgment. Now, we don't need to get into all the details of that. We don't have time to be able to do so. But I believe it's to determine the degree of punishment. And as well, He has the book of life. He said, well, whosoever is now found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. This book of life must be for the Lord. No, it's not for Him. I believe it's for those that are going there because they're still so confused. And think, oh, well, it's okay. Maybe He'll let me go to heaven now. Maybe now He'll just say, okay, you can have a second chance. You know, it is going to be an incredible, sad day at the Great White Throne Judgment. When people get up there and they say, Lord, Lord, haven't I done wonderful works? And haven't I done this in Your name? And I've done this and I've gone to church. I was baptized. And my parents were good Christian people. Come on. I mean, I went to youth group. I mean, then isn't that worth something? And Jesus Christ will say, depart from Me. I never knew you. And will be cast to everlasting punishment and in the fire of hell. So that's a sad day. It certainly will be. But did you know, even more sad, more terrible than that is today? Say, no. What is that bad? We were having a great time at the Bill Rice Ranch. We're having a tremendous time. No, for that individual that's unsaved. Well, that'll be a terrible day at the great white throne judgment. But what's worse is to be here at the Bill Rice Ranch hearing the good news. You can have your sins forgiven. Jesus Christ has died for you. All you need to do is simply trust Him and say no. That's the Saturday. That is the worst. Why? Because here at the great white throne judgment, He can do nothing at that point. There's no second chances. There's no turning back. At this point, it's judgment and it's definite. And it's just a matter of determining and declaring before the Lord Jesus Christ and Him saying, depart from me. But here and tonight, there is a chance where you can do something about it. Don't just sit there and say, no, I'll just wait and think about it. You've thought about it enough. Listen, we love you. God loves you. You need to trust Jesus Christ as Savior today, tonight. Make the decision even right now, during this service, right where you're seated, saying, okay, I can't save myself. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to that place of the great white throne judgment. I want to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. He's the only one that can save me. Make the decision tonight. Don't simply do nothing. And as you hear the gospel seeds, just lands on a heart that's calloused and tough and so hard that it can't penetrate. Tonight, you need to do something about your salvation. You need to be saved. If you're here and you say, Brother Chris, I've already taken care of that. There's a time in my life where I made a decision. I recognize I was a sinner and I should go to hell, but Jesus Christ died for me, so I trusted Christ as Savior. How can you develop a hard heart? How can you have this fallow ground? How do you get it? You do nothing in the area of conviction as a believer. Here is the Holy Spirit now inside of you, and He convicts you. What does that mean? He convinces you that what you're hearing from the Word of God is true. And what we're doing in our lifestyle, when it's in contradiction to that, is wrong. It's false. It's sin. And He's convincing us. And this throughout this week, He's going to be convincing. He already has. Are you open to it and saying, okay, all right, dear God, I'll respond to you whenever you convict me? Or do you quench that? The Bible says in 1 Thessalians 5:18, quench not the Spirit. Right after it says despise not prophesying, the idea of prophesying is the preaching. Don't despise preaching. When you hear the Word of God and it's being preached, you say, nah, I'll take care of that later. You just simply ignore. You just try to ignore it. You're just trying to think about something else because you don't want to hear about your music. And you don't want to hear about being disobedient to your parents. You don't want to hear about the trash you've been letting into your mind and you're trying to figure out and you're trying to wonder, why am I not getting victory when I've been making poor choices the entire time? You don't want to hear about it, so you just simply ignore or maybe just say no. And that flame that God, a flame of revival that God's trying to start in your heart and your life, at that point, it's just being quenched. It's being splashed out. It's just being put away by simply saying no. You see, it's interesting. Fallow ground is not ground that's never been used. Fallow ground is ground that was used and had been plowed up and soft at one point, but now it's hard. It had been soft. And some of you, you've been soft as a junior higher. You were soft when you were younger. But now, why is it that you've developed a hard heart? Why is it that you've done that? Well, I don't want to do it. I don't want to be the first one. I don't want to be the only one. I don't want to have to respond in this way. Listen, as a teenager, you can have a soft heart. Fallow ground's not ground that's never been used. It's ground that's been plowed. But now, for a while, it's simply been left alone. You can develop a hard heart when you hear God's voice and have conviction and do nothing whatsoever. The Bible says this in Hebrews 3:15. It says, while it is said today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. Today, do it. Hear His voice. And after you hear His voice, don't harden your heart by saying, no, I'm going to do that later. Well, what happens when you harden your heart and you don't do what God has told you to do? There's three things that will happen when you do not do what you already know. In fact, the first one is this. The first one happens is this, is when you don't do what you already know is right to do, you are not wise. You are not wise. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 7. We'll come back to Hosea. We will come back to Hosea, but turn to Matthew chapter 7 and the passage that Brother Redlin preached on about making choices. The wise man and the foolish man. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. Well, what made the difference? What was it? Was it that the foolish man, he didn't know any better? No one ever told him. Well, let's look at the passage. Let's look at the verses. Look at verse 24. It says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." So here's the wise man. Look this way. He's wise because he's heard what Jesus Christ has said, and he did what Jesus Christ said. He made a decision to do what he had heard and what he knows. Well, who's the foolish man? Look at verse 26. "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine." So they do hear. "Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine." Help me out with the next four words out loud. Ready? Look at the verse. "Heareth these sayings of mine." Ready? "And doeth them not." It's the one that doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. You're not wise if you hear what God says and you do not do it. It's unwise. You know, there is nothing more unwise than rejecting Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's nothing that makes less sense than that. He can have your sin, you can have your sins forgiven. You can have joy right now. You can have purpose in your life. God loves you so much, and He can take you to heaven when you die. What a wonderful promise. What a great thing is salvation. There is nothing better than the salvation of your soul. How unwise it would be to simply say no from what you're hearing and you don't decide to do it. Number one, you're not wise. Not only what happens when you don't do what you already know. In James 4 and verse 17, it says this. It says, "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is..." You know it? "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is..." It's sin. So therefore, when you know what you're supposed to do and you don't do it, you're not wise. But secondly, when you know what you're supposed to do and you don't do it, you're not right. You're not right with God. By the authority of God's word, you are not right with God when you know what you ought to do and you're not doing it. You know, oftentimes we're so deceived. We're so deceived because we're in youth group, we're in church, and you know so many verses, you know so many things. You've heard messages on music. You've heard messages on obeying your parents. You've heard messages on getting your mind cleared out and getting all the gutter taken care of, and you're not doing it. And you think, wow, I'm okay because it's all right because I know a lot of things. And you think just because you know it, you're fine. But it's not the case. You are not right with God if you're not doing it. Let me ask this about church attendance. Is it right, just answer me out loud, is it right, yes or no, to be at church for every service of the church? Is it right, yes or no, to be at church for every service of the church? Physically possible, if you're physically possible. Yes or no? Yes. You say yes. We say it's right. Yeah, that's the right thing to do. That's a good thing to do. Do you do it? Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It's not right. You haven't been, we got ball and ball practice. What's more important? What's the main thing in your, what's priority? It's not your relationship with God then. It's not church and a church attendance. Let me ask, after you're saved and you trust Jesus Christ as Savior, not a part of your salvation, but because of your salvation, the Bible says and Christ says you need to be baptized. Is it right, yes or no, to be baptized as a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes or no? You say yes, yeah, that's right to do. Are you? Have you been baptized? You know, it shows simple obedience. That's just the starting block. That's just the beginning of the race. You need to be baptized. It just shows the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't wash away your sins. It simply shows that. And once you understand what baptism is, you know what it is and what you should do. Now you're held accountable for it. "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Let me ask you, soul winning. Is it right to do it? You say, yes. Well, we could go through the list. Okay, sure, I should be at the youth group and soul winning. Sure, I should go on this. I should do that. That's a good thing. You know it, but you're not doing it. You know what? We would have the greatest revival simply if we didn't teach you anything else new this whole week. And we simply said, okay, all the things that you know that you ought to be doing right now, would you get it right? And he said, okay, I'll do it. We'd have an incredible revival. Incredible. Just coming back to God, being right and confessing sin. Say, I haven't been doing this. I haven't been going to church. I have not been baptized. I haven't been soul winning. I haven't been right with my parents. My music's terrible. Simply doing nothing is how you get hard ground. How to get hard ground? Do nothing. Here's the second question about the hard ground. Look back in the passage in Hosea chapter 10. Hosea chapter 10, look at verse 12. Number two question is this. Number one, we ask, how do you get hard ground? Can you help me out with the answer again? Do nothing, obviously, is the answer. Help me out with the answer. How do you get hard ground? And the answer is?
Do nothing.
Do nothing. Number two, how do you get hard ground? How do you get rid of hard ground? How do you get rid of the hard ground? Well, look at the verse there. It says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. Break up your fallow ground. You have to break it up. How do you get rid of the hard ground? Break it up. So I'll ask the question, you answer it. Ready? Number two, how do you get rid of hard ground? And the answer is, you break it up. You just break it up. Okay, well, how do you break it up? How do you have this broken heart? How do you have this broken, dying to self? How do you do this? Well, first of all, you humble yourself. Now, it takes some humility saying, okay, I'm in need. Who's the one that God's going to revive? He's going to revive the humble in heart, the contrite in spirit. Saying, okay, I'm going to simply humble myself. But after you humble yourself, secondly, and you're breaking it up, and you're getting out that hole. It's okay, here it is. And you're working this area, and it's been so hard since you've grown in the Lord in this area. And this part of the garden is so bad, boy, that you need to break this up. You have to confess it. You have to confess. Okay, this is the area that's wrong. This over here is real hard. This is the area. Boy, those weeds can't be there. If I just ignored everything, if I just had everything in my garden, my soil all good except for half of it, and I didn't acknowledge that there's weeds over there and it's hard ground, I said, that's fine. Now I'll be okay. And I start to sow the seeds. On half of it's going to grow. Half of it's not going to grow. I have to acknowledge. I have to agree, saying, okay, this is a sin. I need to break it up. And you're going to have to start agreeing that what you've been hearing is a sin. And you need to break it up. Just simply confess it and say, okay, I'm going to make a decision about this. How about a decision about your music? We heard a wonderful message about the area of music. I'm calling for a decision now tonight. You already know. Well, we say, okay, tonight I'll get it right. When you look at your music, here's a simple test, again, very simplistic. All three start with the letter M. I got this from an evangelist that's in heaven now. He said, when you're trying out your music, test first the man, then secondly the music, and thirdly the message. The man, the music, and the message. What's the man like that sings your songs? What is he like, and what is his lifestyle like? Is the ones that are singing your songs, whether it's rock music, whether it's rap, whether it's Christian rock, Christian hard rock, Christian rap, whatever it is the guy that's singing that the artist, guy or lady, is it someone that your church would have in and teach Sunday school? Here is so-and-so, and they're going to come in, and we're going to have this person. And I could name a whole bunch of them, and he's like, oh, man, no way. No way would they ever be able to come into my church. Why are you listening to the music? You know, Pastor Redland said this morning, he said, you would blush to hear what the artists are saying. Some would. Some wouldn't. You know, it's incredible that the man that sings it should back up the message that's there. I remember taking a flight one time to Seattle. I was leaving Nashville and I was getting on a flight, straight flight to Seattle. And I got on the plane, and all of a sudden I look up And we're waiting just a few minutes before the doors are going to close. And I look up, and in come a whole bunch of guys with long hair, tattoos. Some had spikes on. Some had black shirts. Some had whatever else. And just long flowing hair. And they came and they sat, not just all in one group, but they did sit actually kind of throughout the plane, about five or six of them, I can't remember. And then a big heavyset guy. And I started looking. I thought, you know what? That looks like a rock band. You know, I think it is. You know, and then here's a big guy, and there's a couple other guys that didn't look as much like them. I thought, they must be the backstage crew. I'm Bubba, the backstage crew. You know, and so they're coming in, and they got long flowing hair. I mean, all the girls are going, oh, wow, that's nice. You know, that's long flowing hair. But you know what people were doing? They were literally, you know, there's business people and everybody else on the plane. They're doing this. They're reading the books and newspapers and everything. They're looking up a second time going, whoa, what is it? My goodness, they look kind of, I don't know. They're coming to come in, and they're sitting down, and I found out later that it was a Christian rock band. It was a well-known one. If I said the name, you'd think I'd be really old, or you'd never have heard of it. But here's a Christian rock band that was very famous, very well-known, and here they are right there. You know what? God said to be a peculiar people, but not really strange like that. What kind of people are doing your music? What's the music like itself? It does portray the message, obviously, how you say something, of course. But then, as well, what's the message itself like? I remember going to the mall one time when my wife was with child, and she had to get a special dress and a couple other things. And I said, okay, I'll go to the mall and I'll sit there and wait and wait and wait while she dries on the dresses. And so I'm sitting there, and the entire time, you know, it's going over. I'm just sitting there, and she's trying on different dresses. And as I'm sitting there, the radio's going. I'm trying not to listen, you know. It's one of those you try to block it out, and boom, chicka-boom, boom, boom, chicka-boom, boom, boom. And, you know, going through, and I'm going, okay, I can't listen. Okay, don't have anything to read. I thought, start thinking about this. And she'll come out. Oh, here's the dress. How do you like it? Does this look good? Oh, that's really good. That's really nice. It doesn't look good, does it? It goes back in. Okay, boom, get you boom, boom, boom. Back to the music. She'd come back out. How's this one? Yeah, that one's great. Hey, let's get it. Let's buy it right now. No, I don't like it. I don't think it looks good. So she's go back. And so here I am, about 10 minutes or 10 hours or whatever went by. And I've been waiting the entire time, very patiently and lovingly, like I ought to. And all of a sudden, the radio announcer came over and announced the name of the radio station. He said, thank you for listening to WW whatever, love your Christian radio station. I said, really? I've been sitting there for several minutes and not one time could I realize it was Christian. And I started to listen and started to strain to listen. So, okay, you're supposed to have good lyrics, you're supposed to have good words. Okay, I'm still going to start listening. Okay, here it is. Listening. Oh, hey, I heard the word grace. Grace. All right, there we go. That was it. That was a good one. All right. All right, listen. Boom, chicka, boom, 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 chicka, boom. Faith. Oh, hey, faith. That's a good one. That's a real good word. That's great. Okay, that was it for that song. All right. All right, next. Oh, Jesus. They said the name. Oh, there it is. I had to strain to hear any message at all. It wasn't clear. It wasn't godly. Let me ask. Not only is your music, you're saying, well, it's using this new car like the world did. Maybe some of you, it's just totally ungodly. And you're listening to the wrong type of music. And God says, it is not right. You cannot be right with God. You know what you should do? Then tonight, just say, okay, I'm going to do it. If you don't, you're not wise. You're not right. And then also, you're not loving. John 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Are you in love with God? Do you love God? I love the special with the ladies, the staff ladies, some of the summer staff council ladies. And they're singing the Hallelujah, I Love Him. Oh, I just love that. It's great. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. I love him too, Brother Chris. Sure, I love him. Yeah, I really love that. Yeah, I love him. Well, then do what he's commanding you to do. Oh, I love him, but, well, that's not really that wrong, is it? It is. You know it. Well, then let's get the music taken care of. How about the, with the rock culture again coming in, the body piercing and all the tattoos? Okay, Lord, I'm going to have to confess this. This isn't right. This isn't right at all. To pierce things, you got things in your lip and in your nose and in your ears and in your eyebrows, and I've seen chains connecting all of them. And, you know, it's just been, wow, tic-tac-toe, you know, and connect the dots and all kinds of games, fun for hours, right on this person's face, you know. This is great. Then they got the, you know, the things in the ears now, and you can like, whoa, I can put my hand through their earlobe because it's so big. And, you know, man, all these different things. Oh, I didn't know it was wrong. Well, the Bible says this, John 15:22, if I had not come, Jesus speaking, and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. That means this, if I didn't come and tell them what was wrong and what was right, they wouldn't have known that what they were doing was wrong. They wouldn't have known it was sin. But now, they have no cloak. They have no covering. They have no jacket to cover up. You can't even cover your sin because you know it's wrong. You know it's not right. And you need to get it taken care of. Well, I've been wanting to do that for a long time. You want to get this little tattoo on your foot or the girls in another spot. Say, no, I'm not going to do that. I need to get this taken care of. You know, even... if you knew you're coming to a camp that had the rule that says, we don't agree with this, here's a conviction, and you have that and you're blatantly wearing it, why is it? It's not because you don't know. It's because there's a hard ground. It's okay, I need to get taken care of. Once you confess, that's wrong. It is wrong. You know it now. Are you going to do it? How do you get rid of the hard ground? You need to break it up. Confess some music tonight and decide, okay, I'm going to get out the music. I'm not going to have the body piercing. Confess tonight areas of disobedience. Haven't been right with your parents. Things haven't been right at home. How's your relationship at home? Have we called up mom and dad? Oh, things are okay. They're fine. They're just fine, Brother Chris. It's okay. Really? Have you been obedient the right way with a good attitude? You're constantly going against them, constantly questioning. Why can't I do this? Man, my goodness, why can't I do that? Man, you guys have such strict rules. Man, I can't believe this. This is terrible. You know, why can't I do that? Why can't I do this? And you go and you ask them, you know, you're getting ready to go someplace on the weekend with your friends, and it's going to be an okay activity. It's going to be a just fine activity. You'll be chaperoned and everything. You want to go to the mall. You want to go go-kart, putting, whatever you're going to do. And we got a whole bunch together. You're going to get something to eat, and you need something called money. And you're broke. And you don't have any money, so you go to mom and dad and say, hey, mom and dad, hey, boy, you're looking good. Nice tie, Dad. Yeah, he's had it for 35 years. He didn't recognize it all this time. And now, hey, you're looking great, Mom. And they're going, okay, what's coming now? Hey, I was wondering, could I get some money? I was, you know, we're going to go, good activity, good chaperone. It's going to be fine. All I need is $50. And your parents go, oh, you want to go activity, good activity, $50. No. Oh, come on. Come on, everyone. You know, other guys in the group are doing it. Once you're in the youth group, it's okay activity. It's going to be chaperone. Everything's okay. Well, the activity's fine. It's just you can't have the money. Oh, well, can I have the money? Why can't I do that? Why can't I have just simply $50? And they go, well, why? Everyone else is going. And it gets a little bit longer. It gets a little bit more drawn out now. It's, Why can't I have the money? You know, why can't I have the money? Why can't I have the money? And you put a guitar in your hands and three notes, you got a country western song. Why can't I have the money? Why can't you just sing it? Why can't I do it? Why can't I do it? You say, man, mom and dad, why can't I stay out until midnight? I mean, everybody else is going to do it. Man, midnight's not that late. I mean, it might be later now than when you were born or, you know, or maybe back in Dr. Bill. I mean, he's been around forever, you know, forever and ever, you know, we heard. But we heard really, really old is 45 in glasses. Good thing other preachers here are only 44 and really close, but they're going to be very old very soon. You say, oh, well, maybe back then. But come on, get up with the ages. It's different now. Teenagers can do stuff and things. Come on. You're, why can I do it? Why can't I have the car? Have you seen the gas prices? All I want to do is go to Detroit, you know, and back a couple times, you know. Come on, it's not that big of a deal. And why can't I do it? And then all of a sudden you can't finish sentences anymore. And why can't I have, but I want to, but everybody else is, and you're going, why? And you go, what in the world is all that about? You know, man, country, western, and rap, you know. This is not good. Need someone to come in and speak teenager. You know, youth pastor, come. I can't understand my child anymore. Are you obedient to your parents like you used to be? Respectful. Simply when they say something, okay. Instead of the why, the asking again, the complaining, going behind their back. Are you obeying? Why don't we just break up the fallow ground and confess that? Say, okay, I need to get right. Some in here, it's a matter of your tongue. What you've been saying. What you've been texting. What you've been doing at night in your bed, texting or emailing. You think, oh, no one's going to find out what I've said. No one's going to find out what we've talked about. The Bible says that you're going to give an account. This is amazing and very sobering, especially to me. You give an account for every idle word. For every idle word. Just something that I don't mean nothing about it. I'm just talking about stuff. You're talking about stuff that you shouldn't be talking about. And then the jokes that you shouldn't be talking about. And you're talking about doing things with the opposite sex that you shouldn't be talking about. You think no one's going to find out. Hey, listen. Are you so deceived that you don't think that the text messages can be tracked? What happened to the mayor of Detroit? He was found being unfaithful to his spouse. It was because they brought up the records from the text messages. Right there on the news. Had it right there. How about right there on the screen, what you've been talking about? God's keeping account. Every idle word. You've been using cuss words. He's been using words that you shouldn't be. You know, tonight, wouldn't you say, okay, I want to confess these things, and I've been doing nothing about it. I know I should be doing right about it. Tonight, I'm going to get it taken care of. How do you get rid of, well, first of all, how do you get hard ground? This fallow ground, how do you get hard ground? You do nothing. Secondly, how do you get rid of the hard ground? You break it up. And then thirdly, how do you keep hard ground from returning? How do you keep hard ground from returning? And the answer is respond the first time. Respond the first time. How do you keep hard ground from returning? Can you give me the answer? How do you keep hard ground from returning? And the answer is, respond the first time. Let's say that again. How do you keep hard ground from returning? And the answer is, respond the first time. Okay, I'm going to respond the first time. When God speaks to me, I'm going to do it. Look at the verse in Hosea 10, verse 12. It says, break up your fallow ground. Then right after that, look at the phrase that says, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. It's time tonight to seek God and seek that close relationship with God. And some of you, you have not been responding to God like you ought to. And you cannot remember the last time. You've been doing nothing about it. You don't respond in the church services. You don't respond in the youth group. You don't respond in the invitation at all. You say, no, I'll get it taken care of later. No, you need to say tonight, I'm going to seek the Lord, and I'm going to seek Him urgently, and I'm going to seek Him unceasingly. You're going to say, okay, I'm going to do this. Why? Because it says, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. It's high time tonight, right now, to get right with God, to be clean again, to be soft again, like you used to be. Remember when you used to respond, God speaks to your heart, and you're right there. Invitation, okay, I'll come pray with someone. Sure, that'll be fine. Doesn't have to change when you get older, not at all. In fact, it should perhaps become more repetitive. It's time to seek the Lord. Why don't you say, okay, tonight I'm going to respond, and I'm going to respond the first time. Don't wait till there's long periods of time. Say today. The Bible says this, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Today, right now, okay. And it says, there in Hebrews 3 and 13, but exhort one another daily. That is, you're encouraging others. You're saying, okay, I'm going to get it taken care of. I'm going to do what's right. Tonight, why don't you say in the invitation, say, okay, I'm going to confess the sin. I'm going to get rid of some things in my heart and my life. And I'm going to say, okay, this is sin. I have to confess it. And tonight, I'm going to do it. And you know how you can encourage a guy beside you? You can know how you can encourage the others in your youth group? By responding to the invitation. By saying, okay, I'm going to come tonight and get it taken care of. There are others that are wanting to do what's right, and they're waiting, they're watching you. Is he going to respond? Is she going to respond? Is she going to go forward? Are they going to make a decision? And they're waiting for you. Are you going to step out? Say tonight, okay, I'm going to. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it today. Don't say tomorrow. Whenever I think of a hardened heart, I always think back and think of an Old Testament character that wouldn't let the children of Israel go. And who was his name? His name was Pharaoh. You got the 10 plagues to be able to encourage Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go. Well, they're terrible plagues. Some of them did take life. Some of them just made life miserable. Lice. It says all the dust of the earth, all the dust of the ground throughout Egypt became lice. Oh, that's gross. That's disgusting. You know, we get lice. Oh, you want to wash everything? You want to blow dry everything? You want to do anything? You put chemicals on to get the lice off? Oh, it's just a gross thing. How about you got locusts, you got the water turning to blood. You got all these different types of plagues that are going on, but one is just simply frogs. Were they poisonous, deadly frogs? They jump up and they started eating people. Oh, frogs! No, it wasn't that. It was just that there's a whole bunch of the river. They came out of the rivers and here are all these frogs. And the Bible says that they were in their bed chambers, their bedrooms. They were in their ovens. They were in their beds. They were in their houses. You get up in the middle of the night. Oh, I need a drink of water. Squish, squish, squish. You know, man, there's frogs everywhere. You wouldn't be able to sleep because of the noise of all the hundreds of frogs in your own house. And then think about the stench. Why, they would stink having all those frogs. And if they're in the ovens and mom's getting the casserole out and going, oh, there's more protein in here tonight. Frog legs. Okay. And so here you go. You know, it would stink. It'd be gross. It just make life miserable. Moses comes to Pharaoh and he says, Pharaoh, hey, when should I take the frogs away? When do you want me to take the frogs away? Isn't that a great, man, when do you want me to take the frogs away? My answer would be yesterday, 5 minutes ago. Get them out of here right now. Get it taken care of right now. So Moses is asking Pharaoh, when do you want me to take the frogs away? And Pharaoh says, do you know what he said? Pharaoh said, tomorrow. Tomorrow. Just wanted one more night with the stinking frogs. One more night in sin. Had such a lousy, terrible night last night, I just thought I'd want to do that one again. Don't say, okay, tomorrow, God, I'll get it taken care of. No, he's saying, tonight, I want a close relationship with you. I want you to be revived. I want you to realize what joy and peace really is by being close to me, But your sin is stopping it. And the hard ground is stopping you. And you're, not me. I'm not going to go. I'm not going to raise my hand. No, don't say tomorrow. Say tonight. Today. Right now. I'm going to get it taken care of. And I want to be close to the Lord. Some of you, coming into the week, you've been responsive before you've come. God's speaking to your heart. Maybe you've gone forward in services and you're making decisions. And for the most part, you're going the right direction. No, perfect, not there. But you're growing and you're making decisions. For those in that situation, oftentimes you think, well, I'm coming to a camp and, well, I know a lot of those things. And I know God's speaking to my heart, but it's just a small thing. And I've been going forward a lot here recently, so I don't need to go now. Wait a minute, why are you stopping now? If God's brought you to this place, He wants you to take you to the next place and to the next place and the next step. Don't stop now. Don't become less responsive. You say, oh, no, no, Brother Chris, I don't have hard ground. It's just that tonight I know there's something I ought to do and I just don't want to decide it. No, decide it right now. Saying, okay, I'm going to get it taken care of. I'm going to come pray about it. I'm going to pray with the counselor about it. Do it urgently. Seek the Lord, for it is time to seek the Lord. It says, until He come. Seek Him on season. Okay, I'm going to seek God. I want to continue to grow. I want to be responsive to Him. How many of you have ever ridden a horse, or maybe you've ridden a horse here at the ranch? You raise your hand. Okay, there's a number of you. I remember when I was riding a horse at the ranch, and the name was Rusty. And let me tell you, Rusty lived up to its name. He was Rusty. He was all of that and a whole bunch more. Rusty was slow. And Rusty would go off and eat the grass over here, and he'd want to go off this path over here. And Rusty didn't want to stay in the line with all the other nice horses going there. And you know, say, oh, you just don't know how to ride a horse. Well, that may be a little true, but I can ride a horse enough to get him to go right and left and go and stop and, you know, nick him. Come on, kick him. I was nicking and I was kicking. And come on, you know, Rusty. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Just nice and slow. And the cowboy had to bring his horse up, kind of scare him and bring him over there. Rusty, it was just, come on, man, come on. I finally got him to get up there. Finally kept him in the line after tugging and pulling for so long. But it took so much. You know, Rusty's no longer with us. He's in the glue factory someplace. I'm very sad about that. Puppy chow somewhere, you know. He's out there. He's no longer around. You know, Rusty was a difficult horse to deal with. That's not why he's no longer with us, by the way. Brother Chris got really upset. I'm going to go hunt me a horse. Kaboom! I feel better. No, it wasn't that. But, you know, I've seen other horses where they're very responsive. It's amazing. You can have a horse. Some of the cowboys can, they train a horse and they can drop the reins of the horse and get the horse to be able to go and be able to stop by just simply a voice command. Or leaning his body to the right or to the left and putting the pressure just with his legs without pulling and tugging on the reins. Get the horse to turn left. Get the horse to turn right. Lean back or even say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Get the horse to stop. Get the horse even to back up. We do all these things because the horse is so sensitive to the direction of the master. Let me ask tonight, don't be like Rusty. Come on, come on, all right, come on, come on, teenager, you need to get over, you need to make this decision. No, God says, I want to be able to drop the reins. And where I speak to you and you think maybe it's a small thing, but with me it's not, because it's stopping from my relationship and my fellowship with you, and I want to be close. He says, okay, now why don't you step out? Why don't you come? Come on. Would you make that decision? I say, okay, I'm going to get it taken care of. Tonight, would you be the soft ground? I say, okay, I need to reply and respond the very first time God speaks to me. Father, I ask for your help. And you're